We'll go ahead and turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're continuing, of course, our study of Paul's final letter. He's writing to his close friend, fellow worker Timothy. He's about to be put to death. He's in prison in Rome. He is writing to encourage Timothy to stand strong. He's instructing him on how to live and what to do. He says, come as quickly as possible. And as we look at this, we see Paul's heart for Timothy as he charges him to be faithful. You know, as we look at this morning, I mean, there's some great things in here. There's some powerful truths that actually change our lives. What are we to do as believers? What should be our emphasis as believers? We saw last time a contrast between those who were faithful and not those who were not faithful. There were two guys that were mentioned in last week's passage that they weren't faithful people. And then there was a guy named Onesiphorus and his family. He was faithful. But as we begin chapter 2, we see the charge to stand strong in the grace of God. And we see a famous passage because it's a passage that we use all the time in our church. It's talking about making disciples. It's to be taught and to teach others. And so are we clear on what our purpose is and what we're to be doing as we wait for our Savior to come get us? At the beginning of each semester of our grow groups, and we have grow groups that go on a semester basis, at the beginning of a semester, we always have a lesson that we call the purpose, plan, and process of our church, in which we talk about our purpose to make disciples and our plan, which is equip the saints to do the work of the ministry, build up the body, and then the process, gathered and scattered. And so we think about being taught and teaching others. And so as we look at our passage this morning, we're going to see that great truth. Well, many of you, if you're older, you'll know this for sure, but many of you may remember the play Fiddler on the Roof. It's the story of a Jewish family in Europe in the middle. They're in the midst of trials, and there are great changes going on. And the world that they knew, this Jewish culture and Jewish family, is changing right before their eyes. And on the eve of his daughter's wedding, his man's name is Tevye, and he sings a song which all of us in this room can identify with. It was the song, Sunrise, Sunset, Swiftly Go the Years, One Day Following Another. So he realizes life is passing away swiftly. It's going and things are changing so fast. It's true for every one of us in this room that our days, our lives just go by so fast. Now, if you're younger, it seems to go slower, but the older you get, the faster it goes. I mean, the first grade, I think, seemed like it lasted for 4 years. It may have lasted 2 years, but it lasted at least for, seemed like 4 years. My brother-in-law, I talked to him, over the summer, and we coached Little League ball together. We were the coaches of these little guys, and that was 50 years ago. Those guys that we coached, some of those are in their 60s, and they were little boys playing baseball. Sunrise, sunset, swiftly go the years, one day following another. There's a cycle, because you get up, and you go to work, and you come home, and you eat, and you rest, and you go to bed, and then you get up, and you go to work, and you come home, and you eat, and you go to bed, so you can get up swiftly, go the years. There are many people who get to the end of their lives, and they say something like this. Is this all there is? What should I have been doing? They miss the point. They miss what they were to do. What should you and I be doing as the sun rises and sunsets as swiftly go the years? Are we to drift through life? What is our emphasis? Those who have trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior. As we look at 2 Timothy, the chapter or the section of chapter 2, verses 1 through 13, we see Paul making clear what believers are to be doing. He's the end of his life, and he writes to Timothy, and he didn't want Timothy to miss anything. And in this passage, we're going to see dealing with priorities and discipline and rewards. Now, it's the last of Paul's letters. As you know, he wrote 13 letters. He went on 3 missionary journeys. He was in prison 2 different times. The last time he's in prison, he's not going to get out. And he wants Timothy, and he's challenging Timothy to be strong in the grace of God and to live out the great truths. And let's be honest, if anybody should know how to live, it was Paul. In chapter 4, at the very end, he says this. He says, I've fought the good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. He tells us to train and equip one another. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 13 all flows together. But what we're going to do this morning, I'm going to break down the passage for you. We're just going to get the first part this morning. But here's the outline of the section. I put it in your bulletin. There's a charge in verses 1 and 2, to charge to teach others, to pass on God's truth, to build into each other's lives. And then in verses 3 through 7, which we're going to see next week, he gives illustrations of faithfulness. He talks about a soldier. He talks about an athlete. He talks about a farmer. And then he talks about his purpose. And he says it is the salvation of others. And we're going to talk about about it, because the word salvation just doesn't always mean eternal life salvation. It may even talk about Christian life salvation, and we'll talk about that next week. And then he ends this with a little poem that is often misunderstood. It's verses 11, 12, and 13. It shows security and service, but the key of the poem is God is faithful. So in the next 2 to 3 weeks, we're going to look at this little section, 1 through 13. This morning, we're only going to look at verses 1 and 2, and simply put, the bottom line is to take what we've been taught and pass it on to other believers. As we think about it this morning, two things stand out. The charge to stand strong in God's grace, we'll talk about grace, and then the charge to make disciples, which is taking what you know and passing it on and training others. You know, when you think about life, and this is, I think, one of the keys, is that so many people, especially in our culture, think that life is about them. And you wake up every day and you say, well, I got to go to work, and then I got to do this, and I want to buy this, and I get this, and I get this. And life is just whatever, sort of whatever's in it for you. But in reality, when you wake up and you realize that you live for Jesus Christ, we who know Christ as Savior, that you live for Him, and the purpose of your life is to touch other lives for Jesus Christ, to proclaim the good news message of Jesus Christ so that people can come to know Christ as Savior, and then to help them grow and be equipped and trained. You won't be going through that cycle of sunrise, sunset. Well, let's look at the first charge. And the first charge is to stand strong in the grace of God. Look at chapter 2, look at verse 1. Paul writes and he says, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Paul tells Timothy, stand strong. This is not new. Back in chapter 1, listen to this. We talked about it in chapter 1. He says, don't be ashamed. He says, God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. So don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, but stand strong, suffer in for the gospel according to the power of God. That's what he's already told Timothy. And look at this charge in verse 2, chapter 2, verse 1. You therefore, my son, he's writing to his son Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Paul calls Timothy a son. We know he wasn't his son, but he may have been his son in the faith. We're not sure. We know that Timothy had been taught scriptures by his grandmother and his mother. We don't know when Timothy trusted Christ, but Paul calls him his son in the faith. Paul could have led Timothy to Christ, or he could have already been a Christian, but Paul considers him like a son as they go through ministry together. It's really an amazing thing. So he says, you, therefore, my son. And then he says, be strong. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The word strong there in the Greek actually means an inward strength. It's not your strength. It's not your power. It's strength from within. And the truth is, we can't live the Christian life in our power. It's not our power. It's God's power through us, the power of the Holy Spirit. When you trust in Jesus Christ as Savior, the Holy Spirit actually comes to live inside of us. 1 Corinthians 6:19, what, do you not know your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who's in you? You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. So we have God's power inside of us. So he says, be strong, Timothy, in the grace which is in Christ Jesus. God's grace, unmerited favor, what God has given to us so we can stand for Him. We need to think for just a minute, because this verse says, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. But there are three words I think you need to think about. The word grace, the word mercy, and the word justice. They're found throughout the Bible. Sometimes people are confused. The word grace actually means unmerited favor. It means getting what we do not deserve. We do not deserve to have eternal life and to be with Jesus Christ and spend eternity with Him, but the grace of God brings salvation, and we put our faith in Jesus Christ, and by His grace we're saved and saved forever. So grace is unmerited favor, getting what we do not deserve. Now mercy is not getting what we do deserve. We say, show us mercy, Lord. What we deserve is to be separated from God forever because we're sinful and we've fallen short of God's glory, but God in His mercy does not give us what we do deserve. And then finally, justice is getting what we deserve. And just be careful. Don't say to God, I want justice. No, you don't. You don't want justice. You want grace and mercy. God poured out His justice on Jesus Christ. We've sinned and come short of the glory of God. And because of the grace of God and the mercy of God, God gave the justice of God on His Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus died in our place, paid for our sins. He poured out His grace and mercy on us, and God deals with us in grace. He says, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. What has he given to us in his grace? Think about this. He's given us the Holy Spirit. I just mentioned it a while ago. The Holy Spirit actually comes to live inside of every one of us who know Jesus Christ as Savior and gives us the power to live. That's why he says, be strong. You can be strong. He's given us the Word of God. We talked about this in grow groups and this morning, but the Bible, it is the written Word of God. It is God giving us his truths and principles to live by. It is his revelation for us to know it and to apply it. So he's given us the Bible. The Bible's not just some book to hang around with. It's not something to put on your coffee table. This is revelation from the living God to believers for us to know it and apply it. The third thing, he's given us the spiritual gifts. Every one of us in this room who know Jesus Christ as Savior have at least one spiritual gift. We're going to have membership training right after church, and there'll be a group of people. I think we got 30-something signed up. We're going to be meeting in 111, and we're going to have a great time, and we're going to have food and everything else. And if you didn't sign up but want to go through the membership, you can just go right over there. We have plenty of extra food. But one of the things we talk about in the membership deal is, what are your spiritual gifts? How can you serve within this body? How can you be used by God to touch lives? And so not only God in his grace has given us the Holy Spirit, he's given us the Word of God, he's given us spiritual gifts, but he's also given us fellow believers. See, we need one another. We did a study this about a year ago on the one another's in the Bible. There's over 50 places in the scripture that says, love one another, build up one another, pray for one another, bear one another's burdens, just one another all over the place. We need each other. We need one another. And God says, you meet in a body. You meet in the local body together using the gifts, talents, and abilities to touch lives for Christ. It is the grace of God that we have the Holy Spirit. It is the grace of God we have the Word of God. It is the grace of God you have spiritual gifts. It is the grace of God that we have each other. Our strength is from God. He says, Timothy, stand strong, not in your power. Stand strong in God's grace, what he's given to you. In John 15, verse 5, he says, apart from Christ, we can do what? Absolutely nothing. Nothing. Grace is so misunderstood. We talk about it all the time because our church is what they call free grace, meaning that we hold to the grace aspect in every aspect. And I want you to understand that when you think about grace, there's a whole aspect of grace for salvation, grace for the Christian life, even grace for the future. Think about the grace for salvation. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared. God's grace, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Our whole salvation is based on the grace of God. But then you think about the Christian life, and the Christian life is all based on the grace of God, with the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, spiritual gifts, fellow believers, all of these things coming together so that we can live and grow to be more like Jesus Christ. And even the future aspect is based on the grace of God, because we're looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Titus chapter 2, verse 13, he is coming, and it is the grace of God that he's coming for us. Oh, God deals with us in grace. Paul says, Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. See, you can do all things through the one who strengthens you. Well, from there, he gives a second charge. And as verse 2, and the second charge is really the charge to make disciples. Let me read the verse to you. It's famous. We use it all the time. We have a study entitled the 2-2 study. It's based off 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. Here it is. It says, these things, the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, you entrust these to faithful people, faithful men, who will be able to teach others also. This is one of the foundational verses of our church. In fact, when you think about our church, our purpose is to make disciples. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Jesus came up and spoke, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples. The only command in that whole passage is to make disciples, which is evangelism and training. This is the purpose of our church, is to go out these doors, lead people to Christ, help them trust in Jesus Christ as Savior, bring them in, train them, equip them so they can do the same thing, so they can reproduce themselves. That's what you're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be leading people to Christ, training them, equipping them so that we can all go back out, lead people to Christ, bring them in, train them, and equip them so we can grow to be like Jesus Christ and touch lives for Christ. Ephesians chapter 4 says, equip the saints to do the ministry to build up the body of Christ. How do we do that? How do we do that? We be taught. Get taught, be taught, teach others. That's what he says. Timothy, the things I taught you, you teach these to other people. That's basically what he's saying. Paul instructs Timothy, the things I taught you, Timothy, you turn around and you teach other people. That's what we're all supposed to be doing. Now, we talk about this all the time. If I said to you in this room, how many of you in this room believe that it is your responsibility to share your faith, every one of you would raise your hand. You would say, well, yeah, I think that's my job to tell people about Jesus, right? If I also said to you, how many of you in this room think it's your responsibility to teach other people the Bible? Very few of you would raise your hand, but you have the same responsibility to take what you know and pass it on to fellow believers. That's the goal. That's the plan. That's what Paul says. Timothy, take the things that you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses. You entrust these to faithful people who will be able to teach others also. Pass on God's truth. What are some of the things you think, as we look through the scripture, what Paul probably taught Timothy? You know, here's what I think he taught him about Jesus and made sure he understood Jesus died on the cross, paid for sin, and rose again, that Jesus was the way, the truth, and the life, that there's no other way to go to the Father except through Christ, that he taught that Jesus is the Savior. I guarantee you he taught him that salvation was a gift by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. The Galatians passage, the Ephesians passage, all of these passages, we saw it back in chapter 1 of 2 Timothy, where he says that he saved us not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. Salvation is a gift. I guarantee you that he taught him about the Christian life and how to live in the power of the Holy Spirit based on the Word of God. He taught him how to understand the Bible, to know it and to apply it. He taught him the basic truths of God and man and the fall and the end times and spiritual gifts and the church. And every one of us in this room, we need to know every one of these things we just looked at. We need to know who Jesus is and that salvation is by grace through faith in him. We need to know about the Christian life. We need to understand how to get into the Bible for ourselves so that we can apply it and we can pass it on. We need to understand the big doctrines, as we call them, from the scripture. How can you do that? Well, when you come every Sunday morning, we're teaching the Bible verse by verse, passage by passage, so that you can understand it and make application. If you come a little earlier, we have grow groups. And the first part of the grow groups, we're teaching right now the seven last things in the book of Revelation so you can understand that and make application. If you come on Wednesday nights, we have a Bible Institute in which we have different courses taught every semester. You can sign up and take a course every semester and get in-depth study on what you need to know and apply. You can get their Bible classes, there are Bible studies throughout the week in this church. There are people teaching all kinds of things. We want you to take advantage of the opportunities that we have so that you can be trained and equipped, so you can take what you're being taught and you can turn around and pass it on to other people. Notice what Paul says, the things which you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses. He said, Paul, Timothy, I taught you this, and I didn't just teach you this. I taught this in front of a whole bunch of people. I taught people these things. You've heard me teach this. Then what he says is, entrust these to faithful people. The word entrust literally means to deposit. It means to put it in their account. It means help them grasp it. He says, deposit it to them. Take these truths and say, look, see these? You got to know these things right here. Take these things. See, one of the things we want you to know is the gospel. We want you to know that Jesus died and rose again. He died to pay for sin. He rose to conquer death. And whoever believes in him will have eternal life. We have deposited to you the clear grace message of salvation. That salvation is a gift. It is not by works. It is by faith alone in Christ alone. We deposit that to you. We deposit to you that the Bible is God's word, alive and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. We want you to know it. We want you to apply it. That's what Paul says. Timothy, take the things I've taught you. You've heard me teach it in the presence of a lot of people. I want you to take these things and I want you to deposit them. I want you to entrust that. Now, notice what he says to faithful people, the faithful men. The idea is faithfulness. And we could say not just men. The whole idea is he said, Timothy, you teach these men, but the bottom line is we teach each other. We teach fellow believers. We help people know the Bible. And now, I think there's a key here, and he says, faithful. Faithful. It's hard to teach somebody if they're not there. It's hard to teach somebody if they don't show up. It's hard to teach people if they're not faithful. So if you're going to teach people and disciple people, they got to be faithful people, because if they're not faithful, you're not going to be able to do that. Notice what he says, entrust these to faithful people. Teach others also. Take what you know, pass it on. Here's the plan. The plan for all of us in this room to take the truths of the Bible that we know, beginning with the simplest thing of the gospel through the deepest things of maybe the book of Revelation, taking those truths and passing them on to other people. Notice the pattern. Paul taught Timothy. Timothy was to teach faithful believers. Faithful believers are to teach others. So who's teaching you? And then who are you teaching? Because that's the key. And there's a verse that I absolutely love. Look at this verse right here. It's found in Colossians chapter 1, verse 28. Paul writes this and says, "And we proclaim him," that's Christ, "admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom." Why? "So that we may present every man complete in Christ." Now, I want you to look at that verse with me for a second. Paul says, we, not just Paul, but other believers as well, we proclaim him. That's Christ. That's who we proclaim. The whole thing that we're doing is about Jesus. Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is the central part of every aspect. From the Old Testament, New Testament, everything goes back to Jesus and his death and resurrection. So we proclaim him admonishing, which means encouraging, and teaching, which means instructing, every man with all wisdom. How? With wisdom, so that, what's the purpose? We may present every person complete. The word complete means mature. We want people to be mature in Christ. A mature believer is able to take what they know and pass it on to others. That's the plan. You may say, well, I don't really know anything. Okay, take some of these classes. Listen carefully on Sunday morning. Write down these things. Come ask questions. Get into a smaller group. Get into a grow group. Get into an SBI class. Get into a Bible study. Get where you can be taught the scripture. So as you begin to say, well, I don't understand that. How does that fit? Call me. I'll meet with you anytime. I love to talk about the Bible. You got a Bible question, just call me anytime, day or night. I would love to talk about the Bible so we can show you how this stuff fits together. The truth is this, I think the church, and I'm not talking about our church, I'm talking about the church in general, has missed the bottom line. If you talk to many, many believers, they'll say that their goal is to evangelize. They've missed half of it. The goal is to make disciples, which is evangelism and training. We're to share our faith and we're to train and equip believers. And so when we get into our mind that it's more than just saying, I want to tell people about Jesus, I want to tell people about Jesus, and then I want to help train and equip those people who know Jesus Christ as Savior. Are you faithful? Are you doing what we're supposed to do? Notice what he says. The things which you have heard from me, Timothy, that I've taught before in the presence of many people, you've heard me teach it a lot, entrust, deposit these to faithful people who will be able to do what? They will be able to teach others also. They'll be able to pass it on. They'll be able to help other people know the truth. That's the charge. Now, what Paul does, and we're stopping here, but what Paul does is he gives really three illustrations. And he talks about a soldier, and he talks about a soldier's priorities, and he's going to talk about our priorities as we pass on the word. He's going to talk about an athlete and their discipline, and we're going to talk about discipline in our life. And he's going to talk about the farmer and the rewards, and we're going to talk about rewards in our lives. And we'll see all that. In fact, that's what we're going to see next week, those three things, how it fits together. We've seen Paul's charge to Timothy, stand strong in the grace of God. Make disciples. Take what you've been taught. Pass it on to others so they'll be able to teach others as well. Application, let's stand strong in God's grace. Let's do it. Let's stand strong. What has he given to us? Think about it. We can't do ministry in our own power. It's not our power. We can't do ministry in our power, but it's God's power. It's powerful. Look what he's given us. Remember, the Holy Spirit. That's the power. The word of God, alive and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. Spiritual gifts to be able to serve and fellow believers to help us do ministry. For every one of us in this room, stand strong in the grace of God. We have to make a difference for Christ. The second application is let's make disciples. Let's do it. Let's be taught. Let's teach others. Making disciples is evangelism and training, leading people to Christ, and then training them, teaching them, helping them grow. How can we do this? Sunday mornings, grow groups, Wednesday nights, Bible studies. Take, be taught, pass it on.